The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our righteous judge, daily your mercy surprises us with everlasting forgiveness. Strengthen our hope in you, and grant that all the peoples of the earth may find their glory in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Reading is from Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning this people. Truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them, nor now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace, but find no good, for a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord, our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 84 responsively. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has desire,
longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the balsam valley will find it a place of spring, for the earlier rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will be seen in Zion.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good. Want me to move you in more?
Is there no one?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Can you hear me? Is my mic on? Please pass the salt. Those are dinner table words. Not too much salt. Those are doctor's office words. You are the salt of the earth. Those are Jesus' words. In this remarkable figure of speech, sentence, every word, one syllable, Jesus tells us who we are, and how we are to live. You are the salt of the earth. In Jesus' day, salt was precious and valuable. It was precious because our bodies need salt to live. Blood which courses through our veins and arteries is a saline solution, and in our stomachs, the hydrochloric acid, the gastric juices, there is salt to digest food. When I was in the South Pacific during World War II, dreadfully hot, perspiring, they always made us take salt tablets. And on the farm we had blocks of salt, salt licks for the cattle. Salt was precious because the body needs salt to live. And salt was scarce. Not because there wasn't a lot of salt, but it was mixed with water and sand. Even the Dead Sea was called the Salt Sea. I tried swimming there one time. You just sort of sit in the water and float. But salt was valuable, more valuable than gold. More wars were fought at that time for salt than for gold. They transported with caravans and ships. It was used to pay wages. The Latin word is salarium, the word salary. If you did a job well, you were worth your salt. Salt was valuable, and salt was precious. It's hard for us to conceive that there wasn't a lot of salt. Of course, we have blasting and digging equipment. We drive down the Silver Strand, and we see piles of salt extracted from seawater. I read that if all the salt in the ocean were in a wall around the Earth at the equator, the wall would be 80 feet high. In addition, you know, there's good salt. We know how to take hydrochloric acid and sodium chloride and make salt. From the time I can remember, there were these cylindrical cardboard boxes. And on the outside of the box, a picture of a girl under an umbrella. It's raining. And the slogan, when it rains, it pours. The people who came up with that had it solicitate, and that meant that in damp weather, the salt wouldn't clog in the salt shaker. When it rains, it pours. But salt is so common to us. But in Jesus' day, it was precious and it was scarce. And you are the salt of the earth. We hear those words and, they almost roll off us as though it's something we heard before. But think about it. Of all the people, the millions of people, you have individual fingerprints. Your DNA is different. The Bible says the hairs of your head are numbered. You're special. You matter to God, and you matter tremendously. I used to think that people thought well of themselves. They always thought they were really, really doing well, really good. This verse in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. I thought everybody loves himself and ought to love his neighbor in the same way. I soon discovered, though, that a lot of people don't love themselves at all. They're down on themselves, disappointed in themselves, seeing areas where they failed, where they fall short. But God doesn't make junk. God made you. God made me. You are the salt of the earth. You are precious and valuable. And what then are you to do? I heard a little story, maybe apocryphal, of an ethnic area where preschool children were told to bring their birth certificates to class so they could be identified. And one little girl was crying when she came. The teacher put her arm around her and said, "What's wrong?" And the girl said, "I've lost my excuse for being born." What's our excuse for being born? You are the salt of the earth. And salt is a preservative. The most widely used of all preservatives. We, of course, use it in butter and cheese, and some time ago started using it with greens, giving us the word salad from the word for salt, and mixing with meat, it became sausage, salsa. Salt is a preservative. In Jesus' day, of course, it was used with the fish. On the farm, we had hams, and they called it sugar curing, but it was really salt to preserve the ham. You are to be a preservative in our world, preserving the world itself. It was about 50 years ago that Rachel Carson wrote about the sea around us, introduced us to the care of the earth. Earth Day grew out of that. And, of course, today we are more concerned, and we do recycling and a lot of things to care for our earth. You are a preservative. You are to be a part of that. And you are to care for your body. I am to care for my body. I read recently that Tony Gwynn has throat cancer, the baseball player. And I read also that he commented on the fact that he chewed tobacco for more than 30 years. We need to preserve our bodies. And we need to preserve other people, looking out for them, helping them, lifting them up, not only physically, but spiritually. God sent Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. It's in Him that we have life eternal. And we are to preserve the lives of other people by sharing this living, redemptive Christ with them. You are the salt of the earth. You are a preservative. Salt is a healing agent. We sprain our foot or ankle, we might soak it in salt water. Hippocrates said that people should be bathed in salt water. The Hippocratic oath that doctors still take come from him. Salt is a healing agent. We're to be healers. Of course, some people marvelously are in the healing profession, and doctors and nurses and science and medicine. But we are to be healers to others. We are to heal relationships. If you kneel at the altar, Jesus said, and you have something against somebody else, go and straighten that out. And then come back to the altar and make things right. You are a healing agent. Years ago, I did preaching missions across the church. I think they were the Lutheran versions of revivals. It started on a Sunday night, and you were there with the church Sunday night, and then for through Thursday, every day. Very, very worthwhile, I thought. And one time I was in the church, and Lutherans were much more staid in those days, you know. But I did a courageous thing. I told them to stand up and shake hands with each other. And there were two people in the pews, one or two pews in the front. They weren't sitting with each other, but they were close to each other. But they stood up, and that's all they did. And I noticed it, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I made some comment they couldn't very well get out of, and so they shook hands with each other. And I was told later that they were sisters, and they hadn't talked to each other for years. Be a healing agent. Nothing helps person hurts as much as person helps. I heard about a man that he had gone to the dentist, and he said to somebody else, he said, my mouth feels terrible. He said, I went to the dentist, I had this toothache, and the office was closed, and he just couldn't help me. And this person said, well, when I when I have problems like that, I go to my wife. And she puts her arm around me and she caresses me and I feel a bit better. And the other man said, well, that's wonderful. Is she home now? Salt is a healing agent. We are to be healers in our world. And salt is a seasoning. Salt is what makes food taste bad when it's not there. I like salt. You probably like salt too. You put salt on things to make things taste better, to give zest to them. That's what you're to do in the world. Give zest to life by your attitude and the way you relate to people. I went to a meeting recently and someone was complaining about the weather, how terrible it was. I thought of the Erlanders. Maybe you remember them. Emery and Ruth Erlander. Great people. They've now died, but they said one time, every morning we say to each other, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Add zest to life. Salt is a seasoning, and you are the salt of the earth. Salt is a bond of friendship. In the Old Testament, we read about the covenant of salt. It was something like the American Indians, Native Americans, using a peace pipe. It fit in a circle, and as the pipe was passed, the people recognized their oneness. I think now of a nomad in the desert, coming up to a tent and pulling on the tent rope, and the head of the house comes out, and he either invites the man in, or they come out, and they sit in a circle, and he takes a cruse of salt, and each one takes a pinch of salt and passes it around, and these people recognize their oneness. This stranger is one with them. In the Old Testament, at a couple places, we read about this salt covenant. One time we were in Bulgaria, Romania, we went to a restaurant, and as we went in, we were given a piece of bread dipped in salt. There was salt there. We would have salt as we came, indicating our togetherness. Salt is an agent. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. One time we saw Da Vinci's The Last Supper. You know, the disciples at the table with Jesus and Judas at the end of the table. The setting is not what one would have seen in Jesus' day, but what one would have seen in the 1500s or 1600s. They're at the table. And there's a salt shaker, but the salt shaker is turned over and the salt is spilling out. The covenant is broken. But you are the salt of the earth. You are to unite people. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. There's one thing more. The Old Testament tells us about sacrifices. They were to be salted with salt. The sacrifices were made to God, the sweet-smelling savor. But if they liked salt on their meat, they ought to put salt on the meat they offered to God. So let every sacrifice, the Bible said, be salted with salt. You are the salt of the earth. You yourself are to be coming to God. You know, it's easy to come, go through the ritual of the church service and just to be here, not really have ourselves in it, coming to God, but you are the salt of the earth. What did the prophets say? I despise your feast days. I want you to be coming. I remember during World War II, they had those posters of Uncle Sam, I want you. And that's what God is saying to you and to me. I want you. We're to come in this way. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, the king is a bit upset and gruntled, but he decides to pray, except he doesn't really pray. And Shakespeare said, the words go up, the thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. And so it is with us. Salt is our coming to God. That's what God wants. More than anything else in the world, He wants you, He wants me to come to Him in worship and praise and faith and salvation and joy. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is precious and valuable. You are precious and valuable. You are a preservative. You care for our world and people. You are a healing agent, just as salt is a healing agent to bring bring healing into our world. You are a seasoning to add zest to life. You are to come and unite people into a oneness. If you come into the covenant, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And then above all, you yourself are to come to God. When you give salt, when you give an offering to God, give yourself. You are giving yourself. I think it's a marvelous figure of speech. One sentence, what is it, 7 one-syllable words. And when we stop and meditate on them, our hearts are warm, knowing that by God's grace, we are the salt of the earth. Amen.